Now we go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15, and this is God's most holy word. Jesus says this, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Would you join me in a word of prayer as we come before the Lord and ask his help? Father, we thank you that this is your word. And although we're not able to gather physically to sit under your word, we thank you for the providence of the technology that enables us to still hear your word and to still dwell in your word. And we pray that by your spirit, wherever we are, gathered in our homes and our houses all around, that you would speak to us in a very special way today. Draw near to us, God, we pray. I pray especially for those who are far from you, that you would draw near to them with comfort, with healing, and encouragement today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, as I mentioned, we're continuing our series in the Lord's Prayer, and we're covering Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15. Last week, we looked at the first phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven," and today we will be talking about "Hallowed be your name." As we saw last week, Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, "Pray then like this," or in some versions, "This then is how you should pray." You see, friends, this is, in the Lord's Prayer, what we have is Jesus' agenda for prayer. This is what God himself wants us to immerse ourselves as we come to him in prayer. Now, some of us may be a bit skeptical about prayer. You say to yourself, you know, "I've tried praying. I've asked God for this and that, and he hasn't answered, and therefore I've given up on prayer." Well, friends, part of the reason that our prayers are not effective oftentimes is because our prayers are driven by our own agendas. We come to God with something that we want. We come to God with something that we think we need, and we ask him for that thing. And when he doesn't answer, we think that prayer is ineffective. Well, friends, we need to see the priority that the Word of God gives to the agenda of God in prayer. We do not come to a genie in a bottle asking him for our needs and expecting him to answer according to our will. No, friends, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us that the first step to true, powerful, meaningful, relational prayer is to immerse ourselves not in our own personal agenda, but in the agenda of God. And God's agenda for your life and for my life is far richer than what we can think of for ourselves. He's the one that truly knows what we truly need. He's the one, as we pray, changes and shapes our hearts so that we desire him and his will rather than our will and what we want. Which is, means, friends, that as we immerse ourselves in the Lord's Prayer, we are immersing ourselves in the reality of God and the reality of what he is doing in this world. Now, one of the goals that I have in teaching you the Lord's Prayer is to give you a useful tool in order to help you to pray well. I found this tool helpful, and I want to hand it over to you as well. The way that the Lord Jesus has given us the Lord's Prayer, he expects us to structure our prayer according to these prayers. So this is the prayer hand that I've adapted from a book called The Walk by Stephen Smallman. And this will become more and more obvious as the weeks go by. Every week, we're taking a certain phrase in the Lord's Prayer, we're meditating on it, and we're unpacking it to teach us how to pray. So if you have your hand, think about the palm as you're approaching. So you pray, Our Father in heaven. That was the first phrase that we looked at last week. And that teaches us how we are to approach God. He is our Father. We belong to Him. Today, we'll be talking about adoring Him. And you may like to hold on to your little finger. Hallowed be your name. And in the Lord's Prayer, in this agenda, we pray that God's name be hallowed. We worship and we adore Him. Next week, Joel's going to be talking about your kingdom come and your will be done. That's a prayer for the advancing of God's kingdom and for the doing of His will here on earth. Advancing. After we've prayed that, we move on to give us this day our daily bread. And that is where God invites us to ask Him for everything that we need, to ask Him for everything that our hearts are longing for, to come before Him and to trust Him as we ask. He invites us to ask. Finally, after that, we move on to pray, forgive us our debts. And that is where we admit our sinfulness before God and we seek His forgiveness. We also seek His help to help forgive those who have sinned against us. Finally, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's our aspiration. That's our aspiration for God to lead us not into evil, but into good. And so this is a simple tool that we'll be coming back to over and over and over again. It's called the prayer hand that teaches us to structure the Lord's Prayer and to structure our lives and our prayers around Jesus' agenda for what He's doing in your life and what He's doing in my life and what He's doing in the world. So I just wanted to give you this tool before we look at the second phrase in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be your name. Well, last week we came to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the first part, Our Father in heaven. Today, we'll be looking at the second phrase, hallowed be your name. Some Bible translations translate it as, your name be honored as holy. Now, friends, when you tell someone your name, you are telling them a lot more than this is how I wish to be identified. You see, friends, your name actually represents who you are. It says something to us about your personality and your character. And friends, in a similar way, the name of God tells us who He is and what He is like. Craig Blomberg, the New Testament scholar, puts it this way. The name of God refers to God's person, His character, His authority. In other words, all that God stands for. God's name represents who He is and what He is like. God's name refers to all that God is, what He is like, what theologians call the attributes of God. I was reading in my quiet time this morning, Psalm 75, verse 1, and my eyes fell on this verse, and this is what the psalmist cries out. We give thanks to You, O Lord. We give thanks for Your name is near. He says that the name of God is near to His people. Why? Because who God is and all that He is like is near to those who follow after Him. So when Jesus is asking that we ask that God's name be hallowed, we're asking that all that He is and what He is like be hallowed. Now, the word hallow is an old word. We don't use it very much nowadays. Now, some people translate it as make holy, but that's not what the word means here. Because God is already holy. There's no way that we can add to the holiness of God. He cannot be more holy than He already is. We're asking, rather, that His holiness, the fact that He is completely and absolutely pure, be recognized and acknowledged. That is what to be hallowed means. The Westminster Larger Catechism, the answer to question 190, says it is to acknowledge and highly esteem Him. That is what it means to hallow the name of God, to acknowledge His name and to highly esteem His name, to acknowledge who He is and to highly esteem who He is, to acknowledge what He is like and to highly esteem what He is like. So Jesus is asking us to ask that God, who He is and what He is like, be acknowledged and highly esteemed. The question is, friends, how are we to do this? This verse is simple enough to understand. We're being asked to pray that God's name be acknowledged and highly esteemed, all that he is and all that he is like. But how exactly do we do this? Well, friends, the 17th century Puritan Thomas Watson, in meditating upon this phrase, he suggests to us that there are two things that we need in order to pray this phrase. He says, firstly, we need a sound knowledge of God. If we need to ask that God's name be highly esteemed and acknowledged, we need to know what that name is. So the first thing Thomas Watson says we need is a sound knowledge of God. But the second thing he says we need is a sincere love to God, because to know God is to love him. Now, based on this, I want to suggest to you that there are three things that we need to do in order to pray, "Hallowed be your name," in the way that God desires us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." We need to know God, we need to pray God to God, and we need to ask God. We need to know, we need to praise, and we need to ask. Know, praise, and ask. Come with me to the first point. We need to know. Now, friends, we can't ask that God's name be acknowledged and esteemed if we don't know his name. If we don't know who he is and what he is like, it's impossible for us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." Friends, in 1973, the Anglican theologian J.I. Packer wrote a book called Knowing God. Now, it was just a series of articles that he wrote for a magazine. It was compiled into a book. He edited it. Little did he know that it would become a modern day classic. It's a book that I would highly recommend. I read it. I gave it to Cindy at her baptism. And it's an amazing exposition of the character of God, who he is and what he is like. Now, in the foreword to that book, J.I. Packer writes this: "The conviction behind this book is that ignorance of God, ignorance of both his ways and the practice of communion with him, lies at the root of much of the church's weakness today." Our friends, J.I. Packer was writing in 1973, but what he is writing is as relevant to us today as it was in his day. The root of much of the church's weakness, the root of much of your weakness and my weakness as we follow God, is in our ignorance, both of God and his ways. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, God says to his people through the prophet Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me." You see, friends, the priests were responsible for teaching God's word to God's people. God's word encapsulates who he is and what he is like. And when it's taught, the people of God know and understand what their God is like. The priests were neglecting their responsibilities. But friends, the passage also tells us that the people were neglecting their responsibility by ignoring and forgetting God's word. And God actually says they will perish for lack of knowledge. Friends, how hungry are you to know God, to know about him, but to also know him intimately and closely? We're distracted by so many things in this world that we live in. But friends, what if this particular season is God pinpointing to you, showing you that what you truly need is a deeper knowledge of him? J.I. Packer says, without a knowledge of God, without a knowledge of the Bible, it's like taking someone from the Amazon and no knowledge of English and expecting them to survive. Now, that is cruel, J.I. Packer says. But friends, when we neglect the word of God and when we neglect the knowledge of God and the study of God, that's what we're doing to ourselves. We're dropping ourselves into a world without understanding who made this world and what it is like. J.I. Packer says, the world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it a disappointing and unpleasant business. Disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfold, as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. This way, you can waste your life and lose your soul. So friends, the first step in praying, hallowed be your name, is to know God, is to know God's name. And do you see what that means, friends? It means that when God invites us to pray, hallowed be your name, his first invitation is for you and me to know him. And to know him is to make sense of the world and to make sense of your life. Friends, what will you do in this season to grow just a little bit more in the knowledge of God? Maybe it's about finally getting started with that Bible reading plan that you've always wanted to get started with. Don't be too ambitious. Just start small. Start reading the Bible for yourself. Start reading the Bible with someone. Or perhaps it's a time that you want to pick up a good book. A book that will tell you about who God is and what he is like. A book I'd recommend to you is J.I. Packer's Knowing God. It is chock full of rich theology made practical. It is chock full of who God is and what he is like. And as you read it, your heart is lifted and encouraged. Or friends, maybe it's about committing to getting deeper into what you hear on Sunday morning by joining a community group. Now, all the groups are on Zoom right now, and it's so critical for us in this time of separation to pull together as best we can. Maybe it's just about taking a step of faith and saying, I'm going to click on a Zoom link and join one of these groups to see. In our community groups, we clarify what we've heard on Sunday morning. We seek to edify one another with the Word of God. We seek to apply, not just hear, but live out what we've learned. And we seek to multiply. We seek to take what God has given to us and spoken to us, what we've applied in our lives, and we seek to multiply it among our friends for their good and for the glory of God. What would you do, friends, in this season to grow in your knowledge and understanding of God? What would you do to grow in your understanding of his being, his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, and his truth, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it? And friends, the thing is, the more you know him, the more you will love him. Thomas Watson once again says this: we may dread him as a judge, but we cannot honor him as a father till we know he is our God. He says the reason God's name is not more hallowed, not more highly esteemed, is because his name is no more loved. The more you know God, friends, the more you will love him. The more you know what he is like, the more you will love him. And friends, when you hear me say that, some of you are skeptical. And some of you are actually afraid. You're afraid, friends, that the better you get to know God, you're going to be disappointed by God. You've had relationships where you thought you knew someone. You thought they were safe. You thought they cared for you. They thought that you thought they had your back, only to discover that this person was not who you expected them to be. You were hurt. You were disappointed. You were left suspicious and wondering whether anybody at all could truly be a good friend to you. Faithful friends, God is not like all of these insincere people. God is infinitely holy, infinitely pure, infinitely good, and infinitely loving. The more you know him, you will be surprised. The more you know him, you may need to adjust your life and your expectations of your life and of the world and what he can give you. But the more you know him, the more you will grow to love him. The more you know him, the more you grow to love him and see him as our Father in heaven, as Abba Father. The more you know him, the more you will love him. And friends, the more you love God, the more you will praise him. And that's the second thing we need to do in order to pray, hallowed be your name. We are called to praise the name of God. Not just to know his name, and not just to love his name, but to praise his name. Friends, it's interesting that when the Westminster Larger Catechism considers how we can pray, "Hallowed be your name," how we can pray that God's name be acknowledged and highly esteemed, it's interesting that it first says that we need to acknowledge that it's only God's grace that enables and inclines people to do so. You cannot do it for yourself. God needs to enable you and woo you by his grace to a place where you will acknowledge and highly esteem his name. We cannot force it. We must allow God and his grace to enable us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." But the second interesting thing that the Larger Catechism says is that we are to pray that us and others know and acknowledge and highly esteem him. That is to say, before we can pray that others acknowledge and highly esteem God, we need to acknowledge and highly esteem God. Before we can pray that others adore God, we must pray and enable our own hearts to adore God for ourselves. So when Jesus asks us to ask God, what Jesus is asking us to ask God for is this. He's inviting us not just to know God, but also to praise God, to acknowledge him and highly esteem him for ourselves. Friends, in other words, this is an invitation to worship. It's an invitation to adore God. It's an invitation to take your heart and plunge it in eternal love. It's an invitation to take your heart and plunge it in what will truly satisfy. R.T. Franz, the late New Testament scholar, puts it this way. This is not merely a petition that people in general may come to acknowledge, but is itself an expression of reverence. To pray, "Hallowed be your name," is both an expression of praise and it's a petition. You are praising God when you pray, "Hallowed be your name," but you are also asking that God's name be hallowed. And friends, to praise God is to complete your enjoyment of God. Why is that? Well, C.S. Lewis, he once said this, and I'm paraphrasing him. He asked the question, don't you feel frustrated, you know, when you've discovered something good that you enjoy? Say you've discovered a new author, a grand view of the mountain, or you've heard a good joke, but the thing is, you have no one to tell. Don't you feel frustrated when that happens? You discover something good, but you're not able to tell anyone else about it? Well, Lewis says, the reason that is because we delight to praise what we enjoy. Because the praise not merely expresses, but completes that enjoyment. To praise God for who he is and what he is like is good for you because it completes your enjoyment of God. And the invitation to pray, "Hallowed be your name," is an invitation not just to know God and to love him, but to praise him, and not just to praise him, but to enjoy him. He's calling you to enjoy him and adore him for who he is and what he is like. So friends, something very practical. When you begin praying this petition, you need to slow down. We tend to try to rush through things in our Singapore context. We want everything to be done within 5 minutes. But the thing is, friends, engaging with God in meaningful conversation and meaningful relationship cannot be rushed. John Smith says this, when you pray this prayer, start by not asking for anything. Yes, that's right. Don't ask for anything. Simply be still and ponder and contemplate the holiness of God. Simply be still and take all that you have read and all that you have understood about God as best you can. Simply take a moment to ponder and contemplate God. And then you ask. You ask him to fill your heart with a holy awe and a love for him. All that you know, all that you've read, take a moment to ask him to fill your heart with awe and love. And when he has done that, at the appropriate moment, speak and praise him and worship him and adore him for who he is and what he has done. That's the first thing you need to do in order to, that's the thing you need to do before you can pray that others may be drawn in to the same knowledge, love, praise, and enjoyment. And friends, then, and only then, do you move on to the final part of praying this prayer, which is to ask Him. Ask Him to work in this world that others may acknowledge and hold in high esteem His name and His fame. The third point, friends, and my final point for today, ask. Friends, do you realize that hallowed be your name is a beautiful bridge between our Father in heaven, and next week when we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why, friends? Well, our Father is in heaven is about approaching God for who He truly is, a Father who loves us, who reigns on high in heaven, infinitely powerful and infinitely loving. When we pray, your kingdom come and your will be done, we're praying that God's kingdom and God's will be advanced here on earth. Now, the connection between approaching God for who He is and seeing His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven and seeing His will done on earth as it is in heaven is in this prayer of asking that His name be highly esteemed and revered. Why is that, friends? Well, R.C. Sproul explains it this way. He says, it is a futile hope for the victory of God's kingdom unless the name of God is regarded as sacred. Because God's kingdom does not come to people who have no respect for Him. Likewise, God's will is not done by people who do not regard Him with reverence and with adoration. That's to say, friends, if we don't highly esteem the name of God, if we don't worship Him and we don't adore Him, His kingdom being established here on earth and His will being done here on earth is not good news to us. It will actually crush us rather than make us flourish. So before we can pray for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done in a meaningful way, we need to pray firstly that people will be in right relationship with God. We need to pray for ourselves that our hearts be in right relationship with God. And then we need to pray for others that they may be right relationship with God. And this, friends, is nothing short of a gospel prayer. When we pray that God, people acknowledge God and highly esteem Him, the only way that they can do that is by seeing God through the lens of Jesus Christ, who forgave them of their sins through His death on the cross and raised them to new life and give them the right to be children of God. And that's why this prayer is a connection between who God is and what He is doing in this world. When we pray, hallowed be your name, friends, it is a personal prayer of intimate adoration. But it is also a prayer that God would change the world as we know it. R.C. Sproul says this, the very beginning of godliness, the very beginning of transformation in our lives and in our society begins with our posture before the character of God. And the reality, friends, is this will take a miracle. Because God's name is not held in high esteem. God's name is not acknowledged by the majority of the world's population. But He asks us to pray that we would first hallow His name. We would first acknowledge and highly esteem Him. That we would first fall in love with Him and His glory. And then He asks us to ask that others may be brought into that same relationship. Friends, to pray, hallowed be your name, is an act of personal adoration and personal devotion, but it is also a prayer for revolution. It's a prayer for a revolution of love. You love and adore God, and you ask that others might love and adore Him too. And that, friends, can change everything. The sad reality, friends, is that we ourselves often don't find God as lovely. We may confess Him with our mouths. We may have grown up in the church or spent many years in the church. But if we put a thermometer into our hearts, our love for God is at best lukewarm. Well, friends, when God invites us to pray, "Hallowed be your name," he's inviting us first and foremost to come back to our first love. He's inviting us first and foremost to be awakened once again to what truly matters to our hearts. He's inviting us once again to adore him and to know him and to love him. And the greatest insight we can have into who he is when we see Jesus Christ, the one teaching us this prayer and the one who died for our sins. In John 1:18, John says, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, but Jesus Christ, he has made him known. Because of Jesus, we can truly know God. And what does God show us about himself in Jesus to make him altogether lovely and altogether praiseworthy? Well, Romans 3:26 tells us that he is both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, friends, when you come to Jesus, you see how God is perfect justice and yet also perfect love. He is just, so he cannot just say, "It's okay, keep sinning." He must punish our sins and our transgressions. But he is love in that he does not punish us for our sins and for our transgressions. He punishes his very own son. And in so doing, he sets us free. Friends, God, the all-wise and all-powerful, can now hold perfect justice and perfect love together and every other attribute he has in perfect harmony because of Jesus and the gospel. And friends, when you pray, "Hallowed be your name," this is the God that you come to. This is the God that you praise. And this is the God you ask to establish his place in every heart. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we confess to you the lukewarmness of our hearts. We confess to you that we've allowed the things of this world, even this heightened measures, to draw us away from you rather than to drive us to you. We confess to you the ways that we have tried to distract ourselves from the pain we feel in our hearts and the despair by going to everything except you. We confess to you that we have been bitter, that you have not answered our prayers according to our will and our kingdom. We confess to you how often we think that we know best for our own selves. And in this pandemic, you have shown us the futility of our own ideas and of our own ways. And we pray, Father, that as we as a church and as a people, every person who is listening into this grows in the Lord's Prayer, we not just grow in a spiritual exercise, we will grow in our knowledge and an understanding of Jesus, who is our King, and Jesus, who is our Savior, and Jesus, who is our Advocate, and Jesus, who is our Intercessor, the Jesus who is for us and not against us. And we pray in this time that you will continue to draw us close to one another and that you would send us out into the world to bring your healing and your love. We want to pray for the Davis family who will be leaving us in about a month's time. We pray that in the remaining month that they have with us, you would fill them with your love. You would encourage them by different ones coming around to help them and to continue to show love to them. And Father, you would give them an excitement and a zeal about going back to America with a fresh love for you and a desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done and your name be hallowed wherever they go. Bless us, we pray, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.